And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All of Canuck Nation can take a collective breath. Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes are back in the fold. Both players signed contract extensions, or at least have agreed to terms on contract extensions. For Hughes, it is a six-year deal worth $7.75 million per year. For Elias Pettersson, 3 years, $7.35 million. All done and done. The players are expected to arrive in Vancouver on Saturday and join their team shortly thereafter. And as such, we've got an emergency podcast, Farhan Lalji and Thomas Drancher. Drancher, we just did this the other day. We fought about baseball. We're not going to fight about it today. Your thoughts on the handiwork of Canuck General Manager Jim Benning?
You know, we've spent a lot of time in this market hyping up these contracts, like years of talk radio segments and, you know, digital pixels being darkened and ink being spilled, breaking down what these deals could look like, the impact of them. You know, it's been an all-consuming topic. And these deals come down today. And fundamentally, Farhan, there's kind of nothing remarkable about them. You know, like, they're pedestrian deals. I mean, Pettersson hasn't joined the bloated second contract forward class the way he was poised to potentially do. He's instead sort of just maybe a little bit raised the bar on the Braden Point, Matt Barzal class with a bridge contract at 7.35. He'll still be an RFA after the deal's done, although with arbitration rights, and he'll be able to call his own shot with a relatively high QO. Max QO could be 8.82 once all's said and done. You know, it's a settlement, right? It's a settlement. And then Hughes, you go look at Hughes, and I mean, in historical context, like, this is the fourth highest AAV of all time for a second contract defender, right? So, you know, like, he's beat Pietrangelo, Doughty, Ekblad, Erik Karlsson. Like, he's beat all of those guys. The only guys higher than him are Thomas Chabot and Miro Heiskanen and Cale Makar. That's not nothing, but it's, you know, it's something. I mean, it's meaningful. And so, you know, when I look at it, though, yet, and think about it, I still think, you know, fundamentally, both are fair deals. Like, both are fair deals, all told. And the Hughes deal, you know, the only, like, sort of quibble that I could have with it is maybe at that type of cap hit, you'd want to see it be a seven-year contract. But they went long. I think that's a contract that mostly makes sense. And on the Pettersson front, I mean, I don't like doing a bridge deal if you're not a contender for a player of that caliber. But, you know, I don't think it's a terrible outcome for the Canucks. Fundamentally, these are compromise deals and fair compromises at that. You know, I'm not going to give it my, like, tidy bit of business seal of approval, but they're solid outcomes for the Canucks. They've done these deals. These players will be at camp. And, you know, that's good work.
When you look at Pettersson's deal in the context of RFAs, contracts that started as RFAs and still finished with the team having some control at the end of it, this is the highest deal ever. Consider that Patrick Laine signed his qualifying offer, which was a little bit higher. That was a $7.5 million one-year QO. But as far as an actual contract that got negotiated and signed, this is the top. And again, you know, many of us were projecting that this wouldn't be a bridge deal when we had these years of discussion, as you pointed out. So it's certainly a challenge. But if you are in this situation, I don't think the pressure leaves Jim Benning right now, because Jim Benning now has 3 years, A, to keep his job, but he's got 3 years to put this franchise in a position where Elias Pettersson wants to continue and wants to sign a long-term deal. Because like you said, the QO at that point, if it gets to 8.82, what a Elias Pettersson contract is going to look like at that point is going to be significantly higher than that in terms of AAV. So that part of the structure isn't really even a factor.
No, I mean, the platform year part of the structure doesn't really matter a ton, right? It's kind of a max AAV, it's set to his overall AAV, 120%. So that's 8.82. And he might not even get there depending on the structure of the deal, but I mean, a safe bet that he will. You know, you look ahead, and I think the key part now is that, like, if you're doing this deal, like, this is a deal, again, that you do if you're on the fringes of being a contending team, which I don't think the Canucks are. And so the pressure now for me is, like, can you revamp this defense core sufficiently over the life of this three-year deal that you make it count, right? That you're saving a couple of million or $2.5 million or whatever it is off of Pettersson's AAV for the next 3 years, probably at the expense of inflating, to some extent, his third contract.
Yeah, and when you look at the contracts that are coming, it also gives them a little bit of room as far as Bo Horvat and JT Miller in 2 years, because you've still got those players a year after that in terms of how you're going to negotiate those deals in the short term. But in the very short term, according to Puckpedia, the Canucks are now $2.41 million over the cap, with 23 players on the projected roster, including Travis Hamonic. We don't have news yet on whether he's opting out and how his situation is going to affect the Canucks cap, let alone their roster. So let's say, for the sake of argument, that Travis Hamonic, by some miracle, decides to join the team. Where do the Canucks go to find that cap relief?
Well, they still have it. Like, they'll be fine. They have the space to have Hamonic come on to the team and play, and that's still the best case scenario for him. Like, they can get, with these deals done, Hamonic back. Like, Hamonic's status, we're still waiting on it as we record on Friday afternoon. You know, Hamonic's status fundamentally did not impact these negotiations. Like, Hamonic returning to the fold and playing is best case scenario from a Canucks perspective. So, you know, they're prepared to do that. Hamonic uncertainty, because it's still uncertain, because he could still play, that cap space remains accounted for. The club would love for him to be back. So his status did not ultimately impact these contract talks. It could have if they'd gone long, or if they'd had certainty on Hamonic, or if they'd had more money to play with. Maybe that could have been part of these negotiations, part of the route to creative problem solve and figure out a resolution here. But they weren't. At the end of the day, on Thursday morning, the sides found a compromise. And fundamentally, I think the compromise was that Pettersson's deal looks an awful lot more like Matt Barzal's than it does like Mikko Rantanen's, right? Like, that, fundamentally, that's the compromise that the two sides ultimately got to. And that, you know, is a good spot for the Canucks to have been in. Like, that matters too in terms of how we should judge and look at these deals.
We've heard 3 years for a few days now. So, and we also heard a number yesterday when news first broke that these deals were close, that it was going to be higher, above 7.7. 7.35, does that lead us to believe that it was their side that moved on this deal?
Well, I mean, I look at that Pettersson deal, and I think it suggests to me anyway, and you know, I'll need to confirm this, but it suggests to me that on the Pettersson front anyway, the player probably moved, right? Like, I think that's what it looks like to me, because it's, you know, it's still a good contract outcome. I mean, it still raises the bar a little bit for those second contract bridge guys, but it's $350,000 more than Matt Barzal made. Pettersson's got a higher points per game over the course of his deal. And yeah, I mean, he had the weak platform year. Like, he had the weak contract year because of the injury and because he only had 21 points in 26 games. But, you know, the fact remains is that his body of work overall compared, you know, pretty closely to guys like Marner and exceeded guys like Eichel and Rantanen and honestly, even Draisaitl. So, you know, I think he comes in a little light, to be totally honest, versus where my expectations were. And if there's sort of one thing that, you know, you maybe would say, you that's a missed opportunity. It's like you do sort of wonder if the Canucks could have leveraged that to go longer in as favorable a circumstances as you're ever likely to get in contract talks with a player of Elias Pettersson's quality, right? I think that was explored too. I think there was a pretty high baseline until Thursday. Like until Thursday, their talks were pretty frustrated. And things changed in the morning. They accelerated in the afternoon, and that gets us to today with a deal that wasn't close, and then all of a sudden got close. Which let's just note for one final time here, Farhan. Like, if there's ever a negotiation that underlines why isn't close doesn't matter, right? It's this one. Like, the two sides were not close on Wednesday night, and by Thursday afternoon the deal was done, right? Like, that is a wild swing, but that's also just kind of how negotiations work.
Yeah, and I'm curious when we get a chance to talk to Pettersson and just try to find out what changed in his mind. Were there any other additional factors that were able to get him to that point? Because, you know, we were hearing a larger number. Obviously, the Canucks would have preferred a better term, but they wouldn't have been close to a number available to make that happen. But here we are, and I just wonder if there's anything extenuating that brought him, because as you suggest, the player moved in this case, or at least we believe he did. Let's look at the roster and see how this is going to impact things from the Canucks' perspective. Because does this effectively end JT Miller at center, or given the situation with Brandon Sutter, are we still going to see Miller at center?
I don't know. Well, Matthew Highmore said that he's playing center tonight in Calgary for the preseason game. So, you know, they're still auditioning to see if they have options in the bottom six, because, you know, you still need a fourth center, even with Pettersson back in the lineup, right? Like, if you're going to play Miller at wing, you need a fourth line center, whether it's Dowling or Highmore, or like, you know, that seems to still be in flux. And the fact that Highmore is playing at center again for the second time this preseason suggests that they're going to audition him again in that spot. So, you know, we'll see. Does Miller stay at center? I hope not.
Yeah, me too.
Like, you know, I just think it accentuates the one thing in his game, which is puck management, that can be a little, it accentuates the double-edged sword part of his game. Whereas when he plays on the wall, all of the extra moves that he makes to protect the puck, like, are genius. You know, like, the same qualities that make him such an impressive driver on the wing, I feel like make him less effective than the sum of his parts in the middle. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm really curious to see where they slot Miller though, once Pettersson comes back, because Miller has played endlessly with Connor Garland, right? And Clearly that's a duo that the Canucks are looking at strongly. So if he's not going to play center, is it Dickinson? Is it Horvat? Because Horvat's been glued to Pearson. So it would seem like if your duos so far through Canucks training camp have basically been Hoglander, Besser, Pearson, Horvat, and Garland, Miller. I think we know where Pettersson slots in that, right? But where does Miller in the event that you move him off of the wing? Like, is it Dickinson with Miller and Garland? Because I don't know that we've seen enough from Dickinson to suggest that that's a good idea, right? So, you know, I'm curious. Or does Pettersson slot with Miller and Garland and they do sort of a reduced lotto line thing? I mean, there's tons of options, and Pettersson obviously gives the Canucks their trump card again, which is playing the lotto line. And I don't think anyone would complain if they were to roll with that and then something like Dickinson, Podkolzin, and Hoglander as just a third line.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Meanwhile, we haven't seen as much of Besser and Hoglander together in practice the last couple of days. What do you take from that?
You know, I don't know. We haven't had a chance to ask Travis about it as a media pool. Presumably he's battling something. Hopefully it's not serious. The one thing that I look at is, like, I know Brock Besser led the team in scoring last year, but reading between the lines of some of the decisions that Green has made throughout the course of training camp, like, it looks to me like there's a fair bit of responsibility being given to Brock that hasn't in the past. Like, and maybe this is because Pettersson's absent or what have you, but I look at that power play unit that they rolled out the other day, and, you know, assuming that Hughes and Petey are going to be mainstays up high with Besser, right? It has Hoglander at the bumper and Pearson at the net front. That's four lefties. The only right-handed shooter on that power play unit would be Brock Besser. And that means, in practice, that everyone's a one-timer option for him. That you're essentially turning over, initiating on the power play to Brock Besser, a guy who came into the league as a shooter, but has become a pretty adept playmaker over the years. But, you know, a primary power play playmaker version of Brock Besser. And granted, you know, Quinn Hughes is obviously going to do a fair bit of signal calling himself in that situation. But nonetheless, like, that's a lot of responsibility for a player who's never been entrusted with that kind of rope, that kind of duty in the past. And then I look also at the Hoglander-Besser thing, right? And that to me implies that the Canucks are at least curious to see if Besser and Pettersson together can drive a line without the input of Miller on their left wing. And to me, that again is like a pretty strong vote of confidence in his emergence as, like, not a young player, but a man in this league from the head coach. And so this all just sort of ups the stakes. Like, they need Besser to be healthy because they're going to be counting on him in a way they never have before, as good as he's been for them since he entered the league.
Any concerns about Pettersson's wrist? Like, do you think that's something the club wants to take a look at early, or do you think they've got enough in the way of reports where they're past that right now coming into this?
I mean, how can you not be concerned until you've seen him? You know, like, how? I don't think that's not a concern. Put it that way. From what I'm hearing, I do think that's, you know, that may be something to watch for once we begin to see Pettersson both in practices and preseason tune-up games.
Based on what we saw in the last preseason game, and we looked, and even at the last practices, we've seen balanced power play units with Hughes and Pettersson back in the fold. Does that become easier or more difficult?
I think they'll, you know, I actually talked to Jason King, and I'll run a piece on this in the next few days, but I talked to Jason King the other day and sort of quizzed him about it. I think we're going to see, I think those units are, if not final entirely and maybe tweaked a bit, like, I think we're at least seeing an articulation of an overall approach, right? Like, he'd like to roll balanced units, I think. Like, he'd like to roll balanced units. And in so doing, I think he understands that Besser, Pettersson, Hughes as a trio is potent, right? Like, it's something not to be interfered with. And so, you know, not that these are set in stone, not that, you know, the cement is hardened here, but I do think that at the very least, we will see those three guys play together on one power play unit. And I don't think they'll get both Bo Horvat and JT Miller, or both Bo Horvat, JT Miller, or, you know, all three of Bo Horvat, JT Miller, Garland. Not that they could, but I'm just saying, like, with the way the personnel is designed, I mean, I think it's going to be those three with, you know, some supporting pieces. Maybe it's Pod Colson, maybe it's Hoglander, maybe it's Pearson, maybe it's Alex Chiasson, but it's going to be supporting pieces with that group of three. And then I think it's going to be similarly, like, Garland, Horvat, Miller, OEL, and somebody. And, you know, this is where I do think Alex Chiasson, and look, if he can get himself into the mix, he's going to need a hell of a game tonight, I think, to even make it a consideration. But a player like Gadjevich, like, they obviously want, you know, Chiasson or a guy like that in the lineup for net front purposes. And the fact that Chiasson also is a right-handed shooter, I mean, that's, you know, that's a leg up that he's going to really have in these final roster battles in the weeks ahead.
I asked you earlier if Hamonic is not here. Sorry, if Hamonic is here from a salary cap purpose, what about if he's not here in terms of a Hughes partner purpose? Do we assume it's going to be Pullman? Do we think it'll be Shen? We pretty much are both of the same opinion that it's not going to be Myers.
I don't think it's going to be Myers. No, not on that shutdown pair, and not with maybe with Hughes. I mean, if they go with Hughes, that means OEL and like if they go Hughes Myers, that pair is really going to be protected in terms of usage, and I just don't think they can afford to do that. I wonder if they have to split OEL Pullman ultimately and go Hughes Pullman, right, and then OEL Myers. I wonder if that'll have to be a consideration, although I'd imagine that Hughes-Shen could also be a consideration and a strong one based on the fact that they've played together previously. And Shen would seem to more closely approximate what the Canucks are looking for in like a Hughes caddy typically than a player like Myers does.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that it's going to allow them to fit their other pairs a little bit better to just have Shen play in that role. And could you imagine Hughes Myers and you protect a $14 million defensive pair?
Well, you know, that's a funny thing to note too. Like you bring up the $14 million defensive pair, but like, do you know that the Canucks are now the second most expensive blue line in the NHL?
Yeah, I saw that.
Like only San Jose costs more. Not a lot of bang for your buck out of that group, right? And
Hughes and OEL, $15 million combined, $15.5 million
well, and
combined.
Then throw in Myers, right? $21 million. So
wow.
I mean, yeah, like it's going to be the other thing here is that it's intractable, right? Like Myers is not easy to move off of. OEL is not easy to move off of. Like this has got to work. This group on paper, people are expecting it to be one of the most feeble defensive groups in the league. It better not be. Like it better not be for $30 million combined. They have to be good. Like they have to be pretty good, or this team is hooped. And when you look at two, like the term on Pettersson's deal, like when Pettersson's deal expires, he'll expire the same time as Myers, but OEL Hughes and Pullman will still be on the books. And you know, one thing that I've sort of been grappling with, thinking about over the course of today as we've, you know, thought through these contracts and broken them down is like the fundamental test now, the main thing that's now locked in is like the Canucks have to build a contending quality blue line during the run of Pettersson's new contract, right? Like that's the task now. That's the high level number one bullet point thing you got to get done. It's not going to be easy. That is not.
I just don't know how you build it, rebuild it, add to it when you're paying $21 million to those three players and $30 million collectively. It just doesn't make sense. But bottom line, from a Canuck fan standpoint, those are problems for another day. Hughes and Pettersson are back in the fold. They will be back in Vancouver on Saturday and should be playing at some point early next week, and we'll get a chance to hear from them before that. But for now, that is our emergency pod, my first emergency pod. I feel better already.
Congratulations. Way there to go. Emergency pod.
We've done it. The VIPs have been asking for it. This one's for you.
Meanwhile, I would say it was clamoring.
They were clamoring.
Yeah.
We thought we'd get it done early this morning, but here we are.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so much going on. And it was like, well, will these break? Or what's going on with Hamonic? Or, yeah.
Do we do another one if Hamonic decision, if that comes through?
No. No, okay. At this point, we'll be set. We'll be back Monday. We'll break it all down. But, you know, the Hamonic thing, I mean, we might not have clarity today anyway. So, we'll see. Going to be very fascinating to see how this all plays out.
Meanwhile, the Athletic Hockey Show with Ian Mendez and Haley Salvian. Down goes Brown, Craig Custin, Sean Gentile, Max Boltman, and Corey Pronwin publishes 5 times a week at The Athletic and wherever you listen to your podcasts. And as far as our emergency pod is concerned, thanks for listening to the VanCast. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform and don't forget to leave a rating and review. Subscribe to The Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get bonus content from our entire network. Start with a 30-day free trial, then just 99 cents a month after that. And right now, annual subscriptions to The Athletic are 50% off when you visit theathletic.com/VanCast. And once again, the VanCast returns on Monday with Hughes and Pedersen in the fold. Thanks for listening.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.